If we think about rewards these days, somewhere I'm going to be in somebody's way, so I apologize. I'm going to try and move back a bit. I have to contend with the leaves. Okay, so we think about rewards. What do you think about? I googled rewards, as you do, you know. Google knows everything. And what came up mostly was reward schemes, as we have lots of those these days. So we earn lots of rewards. Isn't that amazing? I don't think when I was young it was like that. I didn't have all these rewards all the time. Now I just spend money and people want to give me rewards. Hey, that sounds like a good deal. So we do the Tesco thing. My wife and I like the Tesco one because you can use the vouchers to go and have a meal somewhere. And it's four times the value. That's a good deal, don't you think? How can you not do you want to do that? Anyway, so you, so there's obviously Nectar and is it Avios or something? Is that the word? Avios, that's the one. And obviously, like these days, everybody has some kind of reward. So the only at the moment in our house, the only reward that's happening is when Abigail manages to go to the loo on her own, which is amazing. You know, there's definitely worth a reward there. So that's always a big celebration. And yeah, okay. So, but there are lots of rewards out there. And funny enough, if I have to put in fuel in my car, I wait for the Tesco fuel place, you know, to get fuel at Tesco because then it's the rewards, the points. So we make sure that we organize our lives. And then funny enough, even obviously if we, that's all joking, but in the back of our mind, there's something that we're pursuing. There's something that we are working for, something that we're thinking, even if we don't think about it every day. It's something that we're pursuing, something that we're seeking after. And what is that for you this morning? I'll just throw a big start with that. What is the reward that you're seeking after besides the Tesco one and those things? What is the bigger reward that you're looking after? And obviously, if you're very spiritual like me, some very spiritual guys often say, to hear those words from God one day, well done, good and faithful servant. And I, you know what, and I've said that myself. I mean, that would be amazing. Wouldn't that be, that's like the ultimate. But I was praying and thinking about that this week, and I have a suspicion that by the time we get to those words, which I trust all of us will hear, by the time we get there, I have a suspicion that they won't matter so much. Because I have a suspicion that being in the presence of God Himself, being in the throne room of Christ, I have a suspicion that that's going to be outweigh anything else. Obviously, the affirmation of the Father saying, well done, that's going to be amazing. But I have a feeling that just Him there, just being in the presence of God, is going to blow our minds. And it's going to just, you know, be different than anything we've ever experienced. Scripture actually tells us that. So let's start there. My presentation and my computer isn't working. So let's see if that one works. Okay, let's go to the first scripture, Dong. If you want, you can just use the arrows and then make it easy. Okay, let's look at Genesis 15. Go one more. Okay. If you want to read with me. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I think God really helps Abram here because he gives him a heads up, saying, listen, before you have to wrestle through this thing, this is it. I am your great reward. Not the blessings we receive from God, not the amazing stuff God does for us, not even the fact that Christ died for us, but He Himself is our greatest reward. and not anything else we can seek after, not even very spiritual blessings that we receive from Him, but He Himself. And this, I want to start there this morning, deliberately. And yeah, maybe it's a good question for the beginning of the year. What is it that you seek after? What is it that you pursue? I have two friends, actually, got more than two friends, but two specific friends, very blessed, that are big into swimming, right? And one of them specifically actually qualified for the Olympic Games, and that's actually great testimony. I'm gonna have him come and visit and share that one day. What do you think? He actually had cancer and then he recovered, and now he's really like top in the one, of, you know, the top few in the country again. So really, the Lord did a miracle there. But before that, a while ago, he qualified for the Olympics, and he was also working. And if you had to look at his schedule, even without knowing him from a bar of soap, you would get a clue what he was about. Because by the time most of us are getting up and waking up, he's already done like 4 kilometers in the pool. I'm not exaggerating. And he'll do that again in the afternoon. I can't even conceive swimming 4 kilometers. But so even it's very clear if you look at his life that he is pursuing something. It's visible in his time and his schedule. It's visible in what he is, where he's spending a lot of time and working really hard at. Okay, so I'm asking, just what if somebody had to look at my life, or your life, or your schedule, or your what would it seem? What are you pursuing? What are you running after? And I'm not going to go get deep. I mean, we can do a whole sermon on this, but the reality is that Christ Himself, God Himself, is our exceedingly great reward. There's no greater thing that we can pursue. There's nothing more fulfilling. There's nothing that will bless you more or fulfill you more than His presence and more of Him in your life. And I want to say to you that if you, wherever, I don't even know everybody here this morning, but I can absolutely guarantee you that there is something more. You've maybe tasted something, but I can absolutely guarantee you that there's more in Christ. There's more to be had in terms of abundance of life. There's something greater that He has prepared for us that we have not yet tasted. Are you with me this morning? And that is our starting point. And obviously in eternity we're going to experience Him in a different way. But even right now, each of us here, there's something more. There's something greater that God has prepared as we push into Him and as we pursue Him and as we pursue relationship with Him. And even in terms of abundance of life and reward. But the fact that what I'm distinguishing between doing things, doing very blessed things, pursuing good things and godly things, I'm distinguishing from that to pursuing Christ Himself. And pursuing Him and relationship with Him. And one of the primary ways that we do that is it's through prayer. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. I just want to look at the next one, Jeremiah, from chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Pastor Andres did an amazing session on the scripture on the ministry conference last year. I really encourage you to, if you haven't listened to it, even if you have, just to go and recap it. There's no greater pursuit. There's nothing more fulfilling. There's no greater purpose for us as human beings to pursue understanding and knowledge of Him and relationship with Him. When Anna and I were dating, if this is the campus in Stellenbosch, right? I was living there, okay? And Anna was living here. But a strange thing happened when I started to have my eye on Anna before we were dating. My cycling route changed drastically. So even though I had to be here, I was spending much more time on this side of town. Okay, so even when I had to cycle home from class, one would think that would be the shortest distance, but I would find different routes going past her residence, you know, where she was staying, just for the off chance, you know, that we might be able to have a quick chat or something, just randomly, because you never know. And then I found out she sometimes studies in the library. I've never studied in a library before. Guess what? I found that the library is the place to study, you know. And I found myself very encouraged, you know, very keen to study in the library. And what I'm saying is that nobody had to force me to do that. There's nobody holding a gun against my head. I wanted to spend time with her. And that was before it was official even. It was a bit awkward now and again. So it had to happen randomly, okay? Anyway, so, but isn't that the same way we pursue him? Because we want to know him? Because we want to grow in our understanding of God? We want to know him more and we want to experience more of him? We've tasted something of his goodness, but there's so much more that he has for us. And what I'm just so convinced of again in preparation for this is that all the blessings that we receive and all the amazing things we do with Christ, obviously seeing his kingdom come, you know, seeing people saved, that stuff is, I mean, that's mind-bogglingly amazing. But even more than that is him himself. He's our reward. And I want to start from that angle, because if you talk about prayer, I could give you 50 points of why you should pray more and how you should pray, and we could do like a 5 steps to a wonderful prayer life. And maybe for 2 weeks, or maybe, well, like really, if it really goes well, maybe a week or a week and a half, you know, you can think, yes, you know what, it's important to pray. But I don't want to do that, because I don't want to do a motivational talk to have you pray more. Prayer is a natural response to a revelation that I'm useless without Christ. And I want more of him in my life. It's a natural response to me wanting, I love him and I want to know him, but also I need him. Amen? Guys, I often say this, God wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't just tolerate you, okay? He really has a desire to know you. He really, that picture that Christ paints, and this is for me significant, guys. Christ himself paints this picture of the prodigal son coming and the father running to meet him. It's powerful. Jewish men, older men don't run. They don't do that, okay? The whole picture paints of God wanting to have a relationship with us, okay? And that's amazing, and that's something we wrestle through and some of us struggle to receive. Okay, God wants to have a relationship with you. But let me, I don't know if this is bad news for somebody, he doesn't need it. God will still be God if I choose not to serve him. He'll still be God. His kingdom will still come if I choose not to be part of it. His plan for this nation will still come to pass. Because he's king, he's sovereign. But the other way around is different, because I need him. I need to have a relationship with him. I need to pray. I need to commune with God, because otherwise I'm dead. You know, you see the difference there. God desires to have a relationship, but he doesn't need it. But you and I absolutely need, desperately need, to commune with God and to be in relationship with him. And to pray and to connect with him on a daily basis. And so I want to say there's nothing more important, there's nothing more fulfilling, and there's nothing more significant, even on specifically in an eternal sense, that you can do beyond pressing into him and seeking his face and praying and connecting with God in prayer. So if we approach this from a legalistic sense, and I say to you, you know what, you must pray. This is what God requires of us. And we do like a law thing and we say, yes, you know what, this is a Christian's prayer, you know? Come on. This is what we do. It's not going to work. But when you and I get a revelation of how desperately we need Him, and as we do that, we actually are found, we realize how desperately we want Him as well, then there's a natural response. Okay? I've mentioned this before, but we're doing this cycling tour around the country. This is when this changed in my life. Before, maybe I'd pray a couple of times a day, you know, when you need stuff, you know? Going into a test, focus, pray hard, you know? But on that tour, I remember coming to this conclusion. Now, this is obviously we cycle 5,000 kilometers in 6 weeks. The top, and none of us were professional cyclists, okay? So the top sports brains in the country heard of the stats of this thing, and they said, this is not possible for untrained athletes. And you know what? They were absolutely right. Because I got this revelation, even though I was pretty in a pretty good state then in terms of fitness, and we did train, okay, we weren't silly, but we did train a lot. But I had this revelation that I cannot do this without God. And it was so real to me because it is such a physical thing, you know. By like 80 kilometers or 90 or 120, you think, yeah, you know what, it's just like zero of me now. But in the mornings, I remember in the mornings having a few minutes by myself with God. And I remember just this absolute conviction, God, if you're not with me, I'm not going to make it. I need you with me today. And that is the perspective out of which we come when we draw near to God. Not obviously then added to that comes that just the desire to be with Him. But the revelation that I desperately need Him, I desperately need to connect with God, I desperately need to pray. Amen. Are you with me this morning? It's good news, I promise. Okay. I'm going to hurry through a few bits around prayer, and I want to end off with some bits about fasting, which I know you're very excited about. Because on Monday, we're starting a fast together. Not this Monday. So I'm giving you a week to prepare yourselves. Amen. Stop drinking coffee by like Thursday-ish. If you really drink a lot of coffee, and you'll thank me on Monday. Okay. But we really want to encourage everybody to join. And I'm going to spend some time around this now so that we're all on the same page. And if this is... If you're like, oh my goodness, what are these people? Weird, fundamentalist people that are fasting. Then that's okay. You don't have to join. You can speak to me afterwards if this is completely foreign. But I will encourage you just to do some kind of fast if you want to join us. Okay. Obviously, not if you're visiting, it's no obligation. Okay. So, all right. So, pursuing God in prayer. Let's look at the next one, Dong. Psalm 63 there. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Speaking of that desperation for Him, that absolute conviction that He is my source. And then that key there in verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life. That's a key. That's partly why we fast. We're saying, God, you are better than all this stuff. Okay, so we're going to get to that in a moment. Okay. Let's continue to the next one. We're going to cover a few scriptures quickly. 1 Peter 5. Just go left. Yes. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Prayer comes from a place of me humbling myself and realizing, you know what? I'm amazing, but I'm zero without God. And I want to say, maybe humbly submit to you, that if there's an area of your life that you're really good at, then I'm suggest that sometimes you forget to pray about stuff in that area. And you're like, okay, you know what, Lord, let me save you some time. I'm really good at this, but got it sorted. You can push in your answering prayer time and some other bits because this part is done. It's fine. So that's a problem because then we struggle to receive the grace of God in that area. But prayer, and the desire for prayer and starting in prayer comes from an absolute revelation that I need God and a place of humbling myself before Him and saying, Lord, I need you in this area. Okay? So that's where we humble ourselves before God and we admit to Him that we need Him. Amen? Let's go on. Matthew 6, this is the model prayer that Christ gives us. I'm going to go very quickly. If you want to, I decide I'm not going to do a teaching with lots of different kinds of prayer. Okay? So you can get that from David if you want to listen to the module at Bible school. But I'm just going to pull out a few bits here. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Very briefly, pull out a few things. Firstly, he starts with our Father. Corporate prayer is absolute key. Okay, guys, when we pray together this time, global prayer and fast means all the Shofar churches all over are doing it together. That's amazing. Okay, maybe we'll be a few hours behind the other guys because of the time difference, but don't worry. Prayers aren't time limited. Did you know that? That's amazing. God is outside of time. I believe that prayers aren't limited to time. Anyway, we can have a discussion about that. A friend of mine, he's the pastor in Durbanville, Ross. When he was a boy reading the scripture, he read about Paul, the apostle Paul, in prison. And Paul in his letter says, please pray for me in my chains. Do you guess what? Ross was on his knees praying for Paul, saying, Lord, help this poor guy in prison. I reckon the Lord honors those prayers because he's outside of time, man. Huh? Okay, anyway. So, our Father. So, we do corporate prayer. And what do we... I'm just going to pull out a few things what one sees here. The heart behind the prayer, okay? There's a desire here and an urgency to see the name of God hallowed, glorified, right? We see here a desire and an urgency to see His kingdom come. That's visible in this prayer that Jesus shows us how to pray. Lord, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. You see that desire. We see the urgency there. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We'll look at the will part a bit later. Give us this day our daily bread. A revelation and a confession that He is our source and our provision. Forgive us our debts. His forgiveness as we forgive others. And He's delivering us from evil. And again, the urgency, Lord, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So we see a lot of things here in terms of the desire of the person praying. God, this is not a shopping list prayer. Did you notice that? There's a bit of provision there. Basics, Lord, thank you. But there's a lot of, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Most of the prayer is not focused on the need of the person praying. It's new for a lot of us, I know. Unfortunately, Western Christianity is a lot of prayer focus around what I need and what I want, and mostly on what I want. Okay, let's continue. This is key, guys. I don't actually know whether this is a proper quote from C.S. Lewis, but there's a quote in the film about his life where his wife asked him about prayer, and he said, prayer isn't so much something that changes things, but it changes me. And I like half agree with that, not completely. Because, yes, prayer changes us a lot. Prayer definitely doesn't change God. Okay, so you can relax about that. There are at least two places in Scripture where it seems God changes His mind because of prayer. So there's an interesting conversation to be had about those. But prayer definitely changes things and changes situations. And obviously, you know, it's one of those basic things that if we have a conviction that God is not only willing but able, then we can pray with confidence. Amen? Yes, we have the desperation prayer, is the natural point of where, you know, we have desperation and faith meet. Desperation on itself is not pretty, you know, it's not nice to see. But desperation, but also having knowledge of where the answer and where the solution is coming from, that's positive. Okay. So let's look at Matthew 7. From 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to whom he knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So that is a premise by which we come into his presence, that he is who he says he is, and that he's faithful. He who says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But not only is he able, but he is also willing to answer our prayer. Okay. Now, obviously, there's a whole thing about knowing the will of God. And we're going to get, in terms of fasting, one thing that we are not able to do is twist God's arm to do something that is not his will. Okay. We used to do this when I don't know if all boys do this at school, but we used to twist each other's arms, and, you know, if you really do it well, you can really hurt somebody, you can break some stuff and damage some things, get some answers out of somebody. But that's not how we approach God, and actually we can try, but I'm just saying that's not why we fast and that's not why we pray. Okay, we cannot demand God to do something that it's not his will to do. Okay. Okay. But there's this absolute conviction that because he is good, and because he is who he says he is, that we can approach him with the expectation that he answers our prayer. Not always how we want to, that's the problem. But the big part of why we fast as well is that we come to a greater revelation of what the will of the Father is. Fasting does more to prepare us for his answer than it does change God. It doesn't change God. Are you with me? It does a lot more in terms of preparing us and separating us and making us sensitive to hear his voice and us able to receive his answer when it comes. Okay. All right. And just in terms of, again, why we pray. You know, there's this we have all these self-help courses out there these days. Amazing, you know. Some stuff for dummies, you know. I like those. You know, help for dummies in any area that you can imagine. But even like stuff like, that's why we do parenting courses, you know. We want to be good at it. We study up for our job. We get qualified. We do extra qualifications because we want to be excellent at it, okay. We want to be good parents and we want to be good at our job. Whatever it is that you want to be good at, you study it. But if I said to you, if it were possible that there is something like a perfect parent, all right, let's take that example, and I get hold of that person, and I say, I'm going to pay you lots of money, you come, and you sort my children out. Apparently there's this course that guarantees results. There's a parenting course that if you do A, B, C, D, you know, 5 steps or whatever, I don't know how many steps, if you do these things, they guarantee your children are going to come out amazing on the other side. So I'm a bit like, But even if that person is that perfect parent and they come and I pay them lots of money, you know what? They're still better off at the mercy of God than in the hands of the perfect parent. And you can take this through to any part of your life. You are still better off at the grace of God and the mercy of God than anywhere else. That is why we pray. Because when I come on my knees before God for my children, I realize that children have a problem because they have imperfect parents. In fact, they have a big problem. But when I leave them in the hands of God, I know that is the best place for them. Are you with me? They are better off at the mercy of God and the grace of God than in anybody's hands. And that's why we pray. That's why we bring ourselves before God. That's why we humble ourselves before God, because we recognize that there's no better place than in His mercy and in His grace. There's no greater provision, and there's no more powerful place of safety, or there's no better place than in His hands. Okay? All right. So I'm going to quickly look at some bits around biblical fasting. Let's look at Romans 1. From one, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so this is a key part of why we fast, is we're presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, sacrifice, interesting word, not used very often these days. Do you hear it a lot at work? I felt I need to sacrifice. No. The society we live in, sacrifice is not big, okay? Yes, entertainment is big, and gratification, and, you know, me, myself, and I, the Holy Trinity, it's big. But sacrifice is not big. And so it's a little bit unheard of in the culture that we're in. And that's why when we talk about fasting, some people, it's like really foreign. And let's be honest, I'm going to say a lot of things about fasting in a very short time, so you can maybe listen to it after. But first, when we talk about fasting, it's not a popular thing. Okay, it's not like people go, yeah, you know, let's do 3 weeks. Let's not just do 3 days, you know. So it's not fun. For most, it's not easy, let's be honest. And but what can I absolutely guarantee is it's powerful. It's in the scripture, and it is powerful, okay? So it sends a bit of a shiver up some of our spines, you know, it's a little bit overwhelming, and it's so foreign to the society we live in, okay? But Paul calls it a basic principle. When he talks about spiritual disciplines, he says, let us not go back to the first things, the basic principles of prayer and fasting stuff. He says, let's not stay there. Let's continue to better things. So what is he saying? See, this is like almost just basic. It's not something we should wonder about, okay? So you can fight with Paul about that. Okay, so this is a basic thing. And this is a key, guys. Fasting is not for the strong. We have this thing that we think only the very spiritual people, they fast. Only the like top, you know, the very strong Christians, they fast. It's not like that. Fasting is for the weak. Fasting is for the vulnerable. Fasting is for normal people like you and I, who are absolutely convinced that they're desperately in need of God in their lives. Yes, that's what fasting is for. That's what prayer is for. It's not for the super Christians, the super spiritual guys. It's for the you and I, the normal people, that realize, I need God in my life. I need God's intervention in this area. I need God I need His answers. And I need His provision. Are you with me? Okay. And, you know, there's this thing, I don't know if we have this deception, that you think when you're a young Christian, you just come to Christ, you pray a lot because you've got problems, eh? Serious problems. You know, you just sort out yourself. You got lots of baggage. You pray a lot. And then as you grow in Christ, you pray less. Because you're like, goodness, sorted. Don't have to, you know. It's the other way around. Because the more we get to know Him, and the more we realize, oh, I'm in trouble without God. The more we realize who He is, the more I realize I need to press into Him more. Okay, so let's just get that thing sorted in our minds. Okay, let's quickly look. Okay, we said about we cannot manipulate God. Okay, we spoke about that. We cannot earn the blessing and favor of God. Let's just get that out of the way. All right? Spoke about this a couple of weeks ago as well. Nothing you and I can do can make God love you more or make Him love us less. Okay, so it's not like He's going to love you less if you don't fast. So just relax, okay? It's an invitation. It's something we do voluntarily, but we are invited to do that. And we see it in Scripture. Okay? So there's no manipulation. We cannot manipulate Him, and He doesn't force us to fast, but He invites us to. Okay? We can't make Him do something that's not His will. As we said, fasting gets us ready for his answer. And it's a beautiful place in, I can't remember the, it's 2 Samuel 12, 21, 22. There's a place where, I'm not going to read it now, but there's a place where Samuel is David is fasting. Okay, the baby is very ill, the baby, and he's fasting. And because he says, who knows, maybe God will be gracious to us and the child will live. So he's in sackcloth and ashes. He's fasting for quite a while. And then something really strange happens. The people around him recognize that the baby actually dies. Okay, so there's a big tragedy. The baby dies. And then everybody is confused, because the moment that David hears about the death of the baby, he gets up, he washes, cleans, dresses, eats, you know, anoints himself, and he carries on. And everybody's like, why are you doing this? And he explains that while the baby is alive, I'm going to press into God and trust. I don't know what His will is in this situation. He didn't know what was going to happen. But he that prayer and that fasting and that separation prepares him for the moment when he recognizes, okay, I have received an answer. It's not the one I was hoping for. It's tough, and if you look at that situation, it's heartbreaking. But we see a heart in David that is so soft and so connected to God that he's able to stand up and move forward into what God has for him, because he's come from a place of fasting. Are you with me? So that it prepares us for what God wants to do, even when it is not as we hoped, even if it's different from what we were hoping for. It prepares us. It connects us with the will of the Father. It connects us with the heart of the Father. And when you're praying for others, you know, that whole thing that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, about the spirit being in charge and the body and the soul being in place, that's what happens when we fast, is that your spirit is more sensitive. Your body is weak and in a good place, because it's not speaking the loudest anymore. The spirit is sensitive to what God is saying. That's precious, guys. It's a precious place. okay. All right. So I'm just going to quickly close with a few bits still. So we get disillusioned when things happen differently from what we thought. Okay. But that place of fasting is a place where we actually prepare ourselves. We consecrate ourselves. We bring ourselves to a place of obedience to God, a place of humility and brokenness, a place of trust. A place of being completely relinquished, saying, Lord, I relinquish my life. I completely trust you with the situation. I know your ways are higher, but you're no better. You know better about this. I trust you completely. I'll serve you whatever happens. That's what fasting does. It brings us to a place of order. Are you with me? Exciting, eh? Okay. So it's not a requirement. It's not something. It's something we do voluntarily. It's grace, guys. Some of us who want to grit our teeth, like, I'm going to do this thing 2 days. Yeah. You know, some of us go without food just for 2 days by accident. It's never happened to me, I confess. But it's not just like a gritting of teeth and I'm going to make it. It's grace that we receive. The moment you consecrate yourself to God for fasting, He gives grace. I can promise you that. He gives special grace. And to be honest, guys, there is realities around it in terms of the effects. Okay, so if you drink a lot of coffee, like I said, tone it down. bad breath. Okay, for some of us, that happens all the time. But so that happens. We get cranky. Some people get hangry, you know. They get difficult if they're hungry. Some of us will have to apologize to our families when we're fasting. That's the reality, guys. But I want to encourage you, even though this resistance, push through. Okay? Sometimes the enemy specifically wants to resist because he knows the power of fasting. He knows the power of prayer. So just push through that. Have a plan, okay? Just a few practical tips. Have a plan when you fast. So if for instance, you want to fast for something personal, in this case, obviously, it's a global fast, so we have a plan, all right? And we're going to give you some direction, and we're going to do a water fast for 3 days that you're welcome to join. Otherwise, you can do a juice fast. No, that doesn't mean don't drink juice. It means drink only juice, okay? So according to your faith, but I want to just encourage you to do take it one step further than you did last time. Stretch your faith a little bit further, okay? So have a plan. So if you're fasting for something else personally another time, then hear from God, get a conviction and say, okay, this is what I feel God is saying. Write it down. Because on day 3, you're gonna think, no, this is crazy. This is not God. That burger I'm seeing there, that is the provision of the Lord. No? So obviously, just have your conviction. It's better. It's good to fast with others. So the other guy can say, no way, buddy, you all out. Don't lose focus now. So just write it down. If you have the conviction, this is what God is, this is how long, this is the kind of fast, put it down, okay? It's a spiritual discipline, and it goes along with the physical act of not eating. It's giving up something perfectly good, nothing wrong with eating good food, amen? In our house, we eat really good food. My wife is blessed in that area, hallelujah. So, but there's nothing wrong with that. But it's giving that up for something better. And saying, Lord, this is amazing, but I need you more than I need food. That's what we're saying. Saying, Lord, I'm willing to set this stuff aside, this can wait, because you are more important. Sometimes we say we fast off TV or stuff like that. It's technically not fasting, because fasting involves specifically not eating. It may be you might abstain from stuff, and it's also powerful, because you're saying, Lord, that stuff can wait. Maybe this relationship or this entertainment or whatever it is, that can wait, because you are more important. I need you more. That's what we're saying. That's very powerful. Okay. So we prepare ourselves when we're going to fast. We prepare ourselves physically and spiritually. You know, you have the conviction in your heart, you draw up the plan, you decide how are you going to fast, for how long, you warn your family. And I'm sorry that I have to say, it's not always like going to be amazing, super spiritual, and Angel Gabriel is going to come visit you, and it's probably going to be difficult, okay, but push through, persevere. But what I want to say to you is that you're going to be stunned and you're going to be blessed by how sensitive you get to the Word, how powerful the Word of God is to sustain, how powerfully different you will experience His presence even, how more sensitive you will get to hear His voice. When I carry on like this, you want to be fasting all the time, eh? Yeah, I know. But I can absolutely with confidence say you're going to see a difference there. And I would say that's why I say persevere, push through. And make sure you spend enough time in prayer and in the Word. Okay. Fasting brings us to a place of increased understanding of how we humble ourselves and our dependency upon God. Okay, that's where we started. We declare our dependence upon Him. We say, Lord, I need you more than these things. And they're very key. We set aside, it allows us to set aside time. So the time that you would spend preparing food and eating food, if you think about it, actually quite a lot. Obviously, it's a bit of a problem if you have children, so you have to do that in any case. I have this bad habit of eating with children. Like every second, one for you, one for me type of thing. When I'm helping David. So I have to really focus when I'm fasting, because... In any case, so but there's time, right? We set aside time for prayer. We set aside time, more time for the Scripture than we normally do. Okay, and it expresses fasting expresses our urgency and our earnestness to want to connect with Him, want to connect with God. Amen. I want us to stand. Actually, let's quickly look at the next one. I think that's the last one. Acts 13. Just in terms of the big picture. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Among them was Barnabas, Simeon, and Lucius from Cyrene. Simeon was also called Niger. Another was Manaen, and he had been brought up with Herod, the ruler of Galilee. Saul was among them too. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke. "Set apart Barnabas and Saul for me," he said. "I have appointed them to do special work." The prophets and the teachers fasted and prayed. They placed their hands on Barnabas and Saul, and then they sent them off. Very powerful picture of how there was a corporate prayer and fasting around what is the will of God in the situation. And this is not just something you do randomly, send guys off to go and plant churches. So they fasted and they prayed and they heard what God was saying. They were in agreement, and then they sent the guys. So this is also a very important element of fasting, is that we set ourselves apart to hear what God is saying, to connect with His heart, not only for me, not only for my situation. Specifically in this corporate class, we're connecting with God about what He's saying to us as a body, what He's saying to us for this city, what is His plan. It connects us with the bigger picture. Okay, I'm taking my eyes off my shopping list. I'm saying, God, I recognize that Your heart is for nations. Your heart is for the city. Your heart is for souls to be saved. And that puts me in a place where I'm able to connect with God in a very, very precious way in terms of what's on His heart. Okay. So I want to really encourage you, as we fast and as we pray next week, trust God for that. And not only in a revelation, but also in a place where we can actually pray into what He's saying. Pray into what He's showing us and what He's preparing for us. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word this morning, God. And we, right from the outset, God, we want to come as a body, Father, as individuals, but also as a family in Christ. We come and we declare there's no other place, Lord, that we would rather be than in Your presence, God. There's no place where we find fulfillment greater than this, Lord. There's no place where we find peace like in Your presence, Lord. There's no place of we will find complete forgiveness, Lord, and love like You love us, God. And we declare, God, that we don't come here because it's only because it's fun and because we enjoy it. We come here because we need You, God. And when we come to You in prayer, Father, we don't do so, Lord, just because it's fun or because we absolutely desperately need You in our lives, God. So we humble ourselves this morning. We thank You for Your grace that is all over us, Lord. We thank You that if it wasn't for Your mercy toward us and Your grace toward us, that we wouldn't be here, Father. We acknowledge that, God. And we humbly come, we declare as a congregation, Lord, as we're coming to this time of prayer and fasting, Lord, we humble ourselves, God. We humble ourselves and we acknowledge that we are desperate for You. But we also have faith that You are the answer, Lord. That You are the faithful one, God. That You know exactly what's happening in our hearts. And You know exactly what we need, Father. We thank You, Lord, that we can have this confidence, Lord. And as I just feel that there's some of us here, we need to just consecrate something to Him. Whether it be whether it just be acknowledging that my children or that relationship or whatever it is, that thing is so precious to me, that there's no better place for that than in the hands of God and His mercy and grace. If there's something that's really near, close to you, if it's something that is really dear to you, something that's really important to you now, I just feel there's a moment here now just to say, God, I trust You with this. I entrust my children to You, whatever it is, I entrust to You. And I declare there's no better place than at Your mercy and in Your grace, Lord. So if that's you, just take a moment just to declare your trust and declare that you just entrust Him with that. Father, we thank you, Lord. I just thank you that you birth in each of us this, and you just reignite in each heart, each of our hearts this morning, a desire and a hunger for you. A desire to know you more, Father, a hunger to pursue you more, to press into you, God, as our reward. Beyond the blessings that you give, beyond the amazing abundance of life that we have in you, Lord, beyond that, there's Christ himself, God. You are our reward. You are our shield and our exceedingly great reward, Lord. And I thank you. I just feel there's some hearts that have hardened over the years, and that you find yourself in a place where you can honestly say, you might pray here and there when things are really going tough. There's an invitation this morning for you to draw near to God. Even when you feel you're empty and there's nothing to share. The fact is that prayer means that we come to Him when it's going well and when it's going not so well. And we can share our hearts with Him. That we can unload, but we can also be filled. While every eye is closed, if you're here this morning and you might have had some relationship with God in the past, or you've had some knowledge of Him, but where you're standing now, you know that you're not in a good place with your relationship with God, and you need Him to restore, and you need trust to draw near to Him again. Maybe you've grew up in church, and you feel far from Him right now, or maybe you've never been in a church environment, but you know that you want that life in Christ. If that's you, this as we're praying now, as every eye is closed, if you would just like to just raise your hand, acknowledge your need for Him, and I want to pray with you. Okay, thank you. If you've raised your hand, you can put it down again.
Just also, as Yaki mentioning the grace to fast, I remember I didn't fast well because of a physical weakness. And if, again, just as we continue in prayer and eyes are closed, but if you feel there's a weakness of body or of mind that would stop you from fasting, then just come. Yeah, you don't need to raise your hand now, but come and receive some prayer, because it's a grace, and God strengthens us in that weakness.
Yes, God, you've seen every heart, Lord. You've seen every hand, Lord. We humbly come, Lord, and we say, God, thank you that you meet us where we're at, Lord. Thank you that even as we draw near to you, we know that you're running toward us, God, and you receive us with open arms. God, we declare this morning, we declare right now, Lord, that we need you more than anything else, God. We need you more than jobs and security. We need you more than partners and children, God. We need you more than all the riches, God. We need you. And in with you and in you is life itself, God. So we bring our hearts before you, Father. We thank you, God, that as we consecrate ourselves, God, as we set ourselves apart, Lord, as we declare, Lord, all that stuff is less important, Lord. You are more important. I thank you, Lord, that you birth something in us, a fire. Lord, you light that fire that burns for you, that burns for your kingdom's sake, that burns for the sake of your glory amongst the nations, that we can agree with Jesus as he teaches us to pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Even if it's not according to what I want, Lord, let your will be done as it is in heaven, also here on earth, God. And we thank you, God, for that with that same conviction we can say, Lord, to you belong all the power and the glory forever and ever, Father. God, and as we draw near to you and as we seek your face, I pray that you show us the big picture, Lord. Show us the nations on your heart. Show us the people around us that you've destined for salvation that need your love right now. Show us, God, the hearts that are desperate for you, God, that we are in contact with, God. And thank you for that you empower us by your Spirit to pray, God, and to partner with you, to see your kingdom come, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we're going to spend some time ministering to people, I want to really encourage you, as if you as Dave said, if there's something that you want to just receive prayer for specifically around fasting, then please come to the front. Whatever else the need may be bold this morning. He's not only willing but able to meet you where you're at and to meet your need. Amen. So join us in the front. We'd love to pray with you. But please join us for some refreshments next door. And please, if you remember, and I want to really encourage you to put out your faith and to join us for the fast. We're going to have some times of prayer together, and we're going to end it together in small group time on Wednesday. Join us. It's going to be amazing. Amen. And so whatever your need is, please join us, and we want to pray with you. God bless you. Have a good week, and prepare. Amen. Thanks.